The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And he said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him again, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then the devil took him up to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came to minister to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we have two images in the readings, the desert and the garden. And a good preacher talks about the desert during Lent. So I'm going to talk about the garden. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, the fall, the creation of humankind, it's one of the most important books, and us Christians struggle sometimes, thinking that we have to believe it literally. You can believe it literally, but we must believe the truths it conveys. And it helps me to understand how the book, The Fall of Humankind, Genesis chapter 3, really was written. Perhaps it'll help you. The Bible actually begins in chapter 12. That is the most ancient part of the story, the call of Abraham that the Jewish people had from the beginning. The stories before that in Genesis did not get recorded until the Babylonian exile. After years of faithful journeying through the desert, the establishment of the promised land, and then the exile after they had fallen away from what God had taught them. And they found themselves among pagan nations with other beliefs, struggling with the common questions all humans struggle with. That is there a God? And if there is a God, how come there's evil in the world? And so the Jewish people, who had learned these things already from God, took the stories that they were exposed to in Babylon and reshaped them to tell the truths that God had already revealed to them. And this story of the fall of humankind is one of the most profound and persistent images throughout all of Scripture. We fail to recognize that. And of course, it starts in the beginning. God did not create evil. God created us from the dust, blew his breath into us, put us in a paradise where all was created good. And so how do we explain evil? Well, we were created in God's image and likeness. God is love. And our highest calling and our purpose in life is really to love. But we can't love if we're hardwired to do that. Love must be a free gift. And so with that comes free choice. And we humans, through temptation, of the evil one, fallen angels, which we believe in, succumbed to the temptation that all humans fight with. Am I a creature of God, subject to a higher authority, and trying to fit in with God's plan? Or do I call the shots? Am I like God? Is it about me and my ego and my pride? And so we hear in this story that humankind succumbs and falls to that temptation and then eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To eat of that tree symbolizes more than just knowing right from wrong. It means partaking in evil. And although we were created good with a good voice and a conscience inside of us, through the fall, through sin, we've been deformed. And like St. Paul says, now there's two laws within me, one that's good and one that's not. And the sinfulness has a way of shaping us. And then we battle sin the more that we sin. And like Adam and Eve, after the sin, we're ashamed of ourselves. We notice and no longer are honest and open. We're willing to be naked in front of others, in front of God. And so it causes suffering. It causes more work in our lives. And that perpetuates sin. So the way the story ends is that Adam and Eve are moved from the garden. It was their own consequences that removed them. There's angels put at the gate to guard them from coming back, lest they grab from the tree of life in the center of the garden and live forever, which is what we were intended to do. So the consequence of sin is death and suffering. The tree of life doesn't end there. It's throughout the scriptures. In the Gospel of John, it's most interesting that after Jesus' resurrection, he's in a garden. And it's pointed out that the tomb is in a garden. And when Mary Magdalene, looking for Jesus, sees him, mistakes him for the gardener. And then in the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus says that to the churches, the Spirit is revealing that I am the one who will give you the fruit of the tree of life so that you will live forever. Jesus' cross is the tree of life. It's the center of all creation. And the fruit of that tree of life is his life, death, and resurrection. Only he could go back into the garden. And he gives us that fruit so that we will live forever and become one with him in this Eucharist, in baptism and Eucharist, just like we ate the fruit of of good and evil, and that became part of us. When we eat the body and blood of Christ and receive that Holy Spirit through baptism, it becomes part of us, and it transforms us and purifies us. And so that is what our lives are most about. And this image of the desert in Lent that we hear in the gospel reminds us that for whatever reasons, sometimes our own fault, sometimes the conditions of the world, if we open our eyes, we recognize that we live in a desert, longing and thirsting for God and the fullness of life. And so I saw in my prayer room, on my little prayer table, in my room, a plant that somebody gave me a year or so ago, a bamboo plant, and I don't know if you can see it, but it looks pretty dead, doesn't it? Except for one little green leaf. I have neglected to tend the life that God gave me in this plant. I didn't water it. And isn't our lives like that? We can go on and be about our own business, trying to be our own gods, not depending, not looking for God to sustain us. We can be in the desert and try to turn rocks into bread. The way I interpret that is how many of us struggle to provide food for our table, security for our lives, but never trust that we have a vocation, a mission God calls us on. And if we are about that, all these other things he'll provide too. Or sometimes we like throw ourselves off the temple and ask God to bail us out. We make stupid decisions. We don't want to suffer the consequences. We get in bad relationships, difficult jobs that aren't meant to be, and we want God to make it all go away. But we have to work our way out slowly, and he'll lead us. But he doesn't just snap the fingers and make our problems go away. Or worship the devil. Hopefully you don't do that. But who do you worship, right? The world offers us all the kingdoms. The world offers us fame, power, popularity. What do we really put first in life? I know for a long time in my life, my job was my God. I wasn't worshiping the devil, but I wasn't worshiping God. God says, trust in me. Put me first. And that's what Lent is about. Lent is about really living in a garden when we recognize we're in the desert. And how do we turn the desert into the garden? We water it. The water is the Holy Spirit. And so take time in your lives to nurture this life that God has given us, to recognize what life is truly about. In the end, it's not about all the things we struggle to do. It's about living in God's love and sharing that love with others, enjoying the beauty of life, even though it's not perfect. But there is good with the evil. And the more we water the good, the more joyable and full of life God we will have. And so, this Lent, make room for God. Receive more the sacraments, that Holy Spirit. Pray more. Cut sin out of our lives. Simplify our lives. Make time for those things to water our plants. And let us, by the time Easter comes, when Jesus is risen from the grave, like Mary Magdalene, let us find ourselves in a garden.